So firstly, my obeisances to all the Vaishnavas, and thank you for allowing us to come and serve you in some small way. We hope we'll be able to do some service while we're here. And the Vaishnavas asked us to speak, so I'll try my best. Many more qualified Vaishnavas in the room, more senior Vaishnavas than me, but with your permission and blessings, I'll try to say something. So today we're honouring the disappearance of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And we began today by singing this beautiful song written by Narottam Das Thakur. They once asked Gaurakishore Das Babaji, how can we attain Krishna Prem? How can we attain love for Krishna? So Gaurakishore Das Babaji said, it's very, very simple. All you need is 2 paisa. 2 paisa means less than 1 cent. He said, all you need is 2 paisa. You simply have to go to the marketplace and you purchase this one book, Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana. These are 2 songbooks written by Narottam Das Thakur. And he said, if you read these songs and you sing these songs and you awaken the emotion contained within these songs, then you will understand and you will experience everything about Krishna Prem. Because the songs are incredible, because not only do they give you the philosophy, but they also give you the mood. Just philosophy is dry. Just philosophy can give some vision or some insight. But ultimately, our real desire is to have an experience of the heart. So therefore, we are followers of Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti means the heart, and Vedanta means the head. So Vaishnavism is where the head and the heart meet. Some people have so much knowledge, but they have no heart. And some people have a lot of sentiment, good sentiment, but they don't have knowledge. So both are incomplete. Vaishnavism means the path of the head and the heart together. Love guided by knowledge, or love awakened from knowledge. And so these songs are very, very beautiful because they help us to awaken this love. So let me just read the translation. 73. So this is Narottam Das Thakur. And in this song, he is speaking of his separation from the Vaishnavas. Sometimes they have a concept of being lovesick. You may have heard in your teenage years, if a boy likes a girl and a girl likes a boy, and then sometimes they're separated, then they have some sense of being lovesick. Because of the separation, they don't feel quite right. In the relationships within our tradition, we find the ultimate apex of being lovesick. So much separation, so much so that the Vaishnavas are not able to maintain their lives because they feel such love for someone, but they cannot interact with them. So, this is what Narottam Das Thakur says, feeling separation from all the Vaishnavas. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where has such a person as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the saviour of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishna Das Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities. Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastime, Narottam Das simply weeps. So, it's very difficult to understand, but this is the height of transcendental ecstasy. His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj once told a devotee, "We are not opening temples. We are approaching, we are opening crying schools. We're not opening temples, we're opening crying schools where people can come and learn the art of how to cry for Krishna. In the material world, why would you want to cry? Crying is a sign of great pain, great anguish. But this crying is a transcendental cry. Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam that if you cry and the tears are very cold, then it means these are tears of kind of some material emotion or tears of great anguish. But when you cry and the tears are very, very warm, then you can understand this is crying out of deep love. You can test next time. Try it out. A different type of crying. This is known as Atma Krandan, the cry of the soul. Not the cry of the emotions or the cry of the mind. There's plenty of crying of the mind and the emotions in the material world. That kind of crying makes you more miserable. But the crying of the soul, that kind of crying for Krishna actually connects you to Krishna and makes you feel great happiness. And this crying for the Vaishnavas is what Narottam is talking about, because to cry for Krishna means first we have to cry for the Vaishnavas. We have to become attached to Vaishnavas. No one became attached to Krishna without becoming attached to a Vaishnava. No one learned how to serve Krishna without first learning how to serve a Vaishnava. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Krishna bhakti janma mula hoya sadhu sang, Krishna prema janma teho puna mukhya ang. Krishna bhakti janma mula, the very root of pure love for Krishna, hoya sadhu sang, is the association of saints. And then Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna prema janma teho, and even when you attain Krishna prema, puna mukhya ang, the association of saints, remains the foremost thing in your life. So without the association of sadhus or saints, one cannot attain Krishna. Sadhu sangha is an interesting term, and it can mean two, you can see it in two ways. Sadhu means a perfect person. So sadhu sangha means to associate with a perfect person. Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. When we read Prabhupada's books, this is sadhu sangha, because we're associating with a perfect person. And Prabhupada is giving us the association of all the acharyas. So many sadhus we're associating with when we read Prabhupada's books. This is the first aspect of sadhu sangha. But another meaning of sadhu sangha is not to associate with a perfect person, but to associate perfectly. So sometimes we think sadhu sangha is only association with a great personality, and all the other devotees who are trying to get there, well, that's not really sadhu sangha. But all the Vaishnavas who are trying, if they come together and they associate perfectly, means they associate in a certain way, they associate with a certain type of sincerity, they associate with the principles given by Rupa Goswami, Dadati, Pratigranati, Guyam, Akhyati, Prachyati, Bhungte, Bhojayate, Chaiva, Sadvida, Pritilakshanam. If the Vaishnavas who are trying come together perfectly by openly having exchange with each other, by giving each other gifts, by being very, very loving, by cooking for each other, then this is also sadhu sangha. So this is a very important mistake that we should never make, to think that sadhu sangha is just association with elevated people. Sadhu sangha also means when we come together and associate together in an elevated way. Today we're honoring the disappearance of Gaurkishor Das Babaji, who is an illustrious saint within our movement. Sometimes people come to Krishna consciousness and they say, you lost your personality. You all have the same hairstyle. You all wear the same kind of clothes. You all speak in the same type of way. You don't even have your own opinion. You just quote from scriptures. So you have no personality anymore. You've been dehumanized by joining the Krishna consciousness movement. But the amazing thing is, when you see the greatest Vaishnavas in the history of the universe, they were all pure devotees of Krishna, but they all had a completely unique personality. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such a prolific writer. He was such a scholar. He was such a philosopher. He wrote hundreds of books. The next personality in the parampara was Gaurkishor Das Babaji. And you know what? He was completely illiterate. He was illiterate. One person in the parampara who's the consummate scholar, and the next person in the parampara who's completely illiterate. Gaurkishor Das Babaji was a recluse. He used to do his chanting in the place where people would empty their bodies, in the lavatory area. He would say, I can tolerate the smell of the waste products from a body, but I cannot tolerate the smell of material desires that comes from people who are engrossed in the temporary objects of this world. So don't try this at home, or don't try this in New Mayapur. But he was going away from the people. Who comes next in the parampara after Gaurkishor Das Babaji? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He was going to the people like no one else. He was going to the materialistic people. Not only was he going to the materialistic people, he was inviting the most materialistic people in society to come to the temple. He said, I will even go to the extent of serving meat in my temple to help them make them feel comfortable so they will come, become convinced, and ultimately help us spread the Krishna consciousness movement. One disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he saw his spiritual master do this, he said, Guru Maharaj, someone will complain. How can we serve meat and invite such materialistic people here? You know what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's reply was? He said, you don't understand that many lifetimes ago, I made a vow that I'll do whatever it takes to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. Gaurkishor Das Babaji was a recluse. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was going to the people. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was a Naishtika Brahmachari. He stayed a renunciate monk for his whole life. And who was his disciple? Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada was a householder. He had children. He had a business. He was a different personality. Yet he carried the order of his spiritual master. So every individual in the parampara is a pure devotee. But every individual is having their own personality. And that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, that we each follow a process, but we're each individuals. There's a humorous pastime in the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Advaita Acharya. Advaita Acharya is 52 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he's old enough to be his great-grandfather. But Advaita Acharya knows that Mahaprabhu is God. Yet Mahaprabhu, because Advaita Acharya is so senior, he respects Advaita on the level of his guru. So Advaita Acharya is thinking, I don't want to be respected by Mahaprabhu. He's God. I want to be chastised by him. But he keeps respecting me. So what does Advaita Acharya do? He makes a plan that I'm going to begin speaking Mayavad philosophy. If there's one thing that gets Mahaprabhu angry, it's Mayavad philosophy. So news reached Nadia, Navadvip, that everyone, have you heard? Advaita Acharya! Advaita Acharya is speaking Mayavad philosophy. The news came to Mahaprabhu. He became so angry. He came out of his house. He jumped into the Ganga. He swam downstream. He came to Shantipur. He entered the place where Advaita Acharya was giving a discourse and he began listening, and then he went right up to Advaita Acharya, who was sitting on the Vyasasana, and he looked at Advaita Acharya, who he would offer all respects to, but this time he looked at Advaita Acharya and he asked him in his face, what is higher, Gyan or Bhakti? And Advaita Acharya looked at Mahaprabhu right in the eyes and said, Gyan. And as soon as he said Gyan, Mahaprabhu went into a transcendental anger. He grabbed Advaita Acharya, he threw him off the Vyasasana, and he began beating him on the floor. Now Advaita Acharya was 52 years old. As soon as Mahaprabhu began beating Advaita Acharya, Advaita Acharya's wife, Sita Devi, she began crying. She said, you're going to kill him, you're going to kill him. So now, just imagine this scene. Look at all the different emotions. Mahaprabhu is in transcendental anger. Advaita Acharya is in transcendental ecstasy. Sita Devi is crying. Nityananda is behind Sita Devi looking at the whole scene and he's dancing. And Haridas Thakur is behind Nityananda Prabhu and he's just chanting. In this one scene, it's incredible. Because you see how all the Vaishnavas are having their own individual emotions. But each one of them are 100% connected in the spiritual reality. And the lesson is that in Krishna consciousness, we have to find our way to be Krishna conscious. And it may not be like someone else, because we're all individuals. Srila Prabhupada wasn't a Naishtika Brahmachari. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't a recluse. Gaurkishore Das Babaji wasn't a scholar. But they found their own ways to be Krishna conscious. Today we're honoring Gaurkishore Das Babaji, and perhaps the biggest lesson that we glean from the life of Gaurkishore Das Babaji is his renunciation. When we offer our respects to Gaurkishore Das Babaji, then we pray, Namo Gaur Kishoraya Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye Vipralambara Sambode Padambu Jayate Namaha. Every teacher is having their special qualities. And what was the special quality of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji? Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye. He had a level of renunciation that was incomparable. He had a renunciation that was unheard of in his times. He had a complete indifference to the world around us. And when we read of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life and how he exhibited his renunciation, perhaps we will look at it and think, I could never be like that. How many of us would chant at a lavatory? We would not do such a thing. This level of renunciation doesn't come from knowledge, it doesn't come from frustration, but it actually comes from a deep level of transcendental ecstasy. Some people become renounced because of experience, isn't it? You get frustrated in the material world. You get defeated in the material world. You get completely smashed by the material energy in the material world. And then you say, oh, I don't want it. I renounce. Renunciation out of frustration. This is the lowest type of renunciation. A little higher than that is when you renounce out of knowledge. No, I should not be attached to the things of this world because eventually they will leave. And therefore, when they leave, I will undergo a lot of pain and dissatisfaction. Therefore, I should not become attached. Therefore, renunciation out of knowledge. But the highest type of renunciation is renunciation out of transcendental ecstasy. Why would I want those things? Because I have something so much better. I have something so much more fulfilling. I have something which is now filling my heart with so much happiness that I no longer need to look for anything else. Some people think the Goswamis were sleeping under a different tree every night because they didn't want to get attached. The reality is that they were sleeping under a different tree in Vrindavan every night because under every tree they were getting realizations of the activities and pastimes that Radha and Krishna performed in that place. And therefore they were going from place to place experiencing all those pastimes. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayat Yashuvairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahaitukam. Vairagya renunciation comes automatically when one has bhakti. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji had that bhakti and he in this way became very, very renounced very naturally. So on the disappearance day of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, we're remembering that renunciation is something we need to learn from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. And renunciation is a principle for everyone. Renunciation is not just a principle for brahmacharis or for sannyasis or for vanaprastas. Renunciation is a principle in every devotee's life. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami says, Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer Vairagya Pradhan Jaha Deki Prita Hana Gaura Bhagavan. Mahaprabhur Bhakta Ganer, the devotees of Mahaprabhu, Vairagya Pradhan, renunciation is a basic principle in their life. Jaha Deki, when Gauranga sees the renunciation within the lives of his devotees, Pritahana, Gaura Bhagavan, he becomes very, very happy. So one may say, what is that renunciation then that we should all have in our life? The renunciation that we should have is outlined by Rupa Goswami, who explains, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagyam Uchyate. That the renunciation all of us should have in our life is that whatever we have, whatever relationships we have, whatever possessions we have, whatever skills we have, whatever influence we have, whatever we've been given by Krishna's grace, by the arrangements of material nature, Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe, somehow or other, connect it to Krishna. Everything you have, connect it to Krishna. And when there are things in your life which you can't connect to Krishna, when there are things in your life which have no meaning to your onward spiritual journey, then those things you leave behind. And everything else in your life, you connect it to Krishna. And then when we live in this spirit, then this is true sannyas. How does Krishna define sannyas in the Bhagavad Gita? Anashrita karma phalam karyam karma karotiya sa sannyasi cha yogi cha nanir agnir na cha kriya. Sannyas is not a dress. Sannyas is not a new name. Sannyas is not even receiving a special mantra. Sannyas is not just a social position. The real sannyas is when one uses everything that they have in their life for Krishna. Gaurakishordas Babaji was not a sannyasi, he was a Babaji. But he was the greatest sannyasi, because the literal meaning of the word sannyas, sun means complete, and yas means to lay down. So the real sannyas is when you lay everything down in front of Krishna and say, Krishna is yours. When you're ready and willing to go with the plan of Krishna and the plan of Vaishnavas, that's real renunciation. When Mahaprabhu took sannyas, then he went to Katwa. And when he took sannyas, he shaved all his head. So he lost his hair. He changed his clothes. He received the danda. He got a mantra. And he walked away from Katwa as a sannyasi, wanting to go to Vrindavan. But when he was leaving Katwa, then Nityananda Prabhu misdirected him and took him to Shantipur. In Shantipur, all the Vaishnavas came to see Mahaprabhu. But he wasn't the Nimai of Nadia anymore. He was Sri Krishna Chaitanya, a sannyasi. And what happened when he came to Shantipur? His mother told him, I'm only asking two things from you now. First thing is that for the 10 days you are here, only I'm allowed to cook for you. That's the kind of thing a mother would ask. And the second thing I'm asking you is, now you're taking sannyas, please don't go to Vrindavan. I want you to go to Jagannath Puri. Because Jagannath Puri and Navadvip are like two rooms in the same house. So at least if you're in Jagannath Puri, then I'll be able to receive news of you. And what did Mahaprabhu say? Yes. The acharyas mention, this signifies the real sannyas of Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was in Katwa and he shaved his head, he took a danda, he received a new name, he received the sannyas mantra, that wasn't actually the complete sannyas. But when he came to Shantipur and he was willing to live his life according to the desires of the Vaishnavas, that really signified sannyas. And so, renunciation means renunciation of any separate desire except from what Krishna's plan is, and Krishna's plans come through the Vaishnavas. So, Vraja is the place where Krishna lives. And the meaning of the word Vraja is to move. Yeah. Vraja means the place where Krishna lives, but etymologically the word Vraja means to move. Why? Because the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of the spiritual world, they're ready to move with the plan of Krishna. That is their renunciation. And so, today we're meditating on Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and the external form of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji's life is too extreme. It's too far away from what we'll be able to manage. But what we can understand and think about on this day is the inner spirit of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, which was a spirit of renunciation. And on this day we can think very deeply, how much are we embracing the spirit of renunciation in a way that's relevant and applicable to my life and my situation? And as we embrace that principle of renunciation based on bhakti, then we'll actually live a life, a spiritual life, in which we'll actually be able to come very close to Krishna. While we're hanging on to the things of this world, while we're hanging on to the hopes and aspirations of this world, while we're hanging on to plans and desires in this world, then our hands are full. And then Krishna has no way to give us the prema dhan, the wealth of love. He cannot hand it to you because your hands are still full of so many things. So we pray to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who is Shakshad Vairagya Murtaye, that in an appropriate way we can also learn to renounce our attachments of this world. And in this way, we can more powerfully practice Krishna consciousness, more practically, powerfully practice spiritual life. Because Krishna does say in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhogeshvariya prashaktanam taya parita chetasham vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho nuvidiyate. If you still have plans for bhoga and aishvarya, if you still have plans for enjoyment and opulence and material gain in this world, those plans will mean vyavasayatmika buddhi samadho nuvidiyate. You will not be able to have the resolute determination that it takes to make this life perfect and go back home, back to Godhead with Krishna. So these are some thoughts that I wanted to share with you on this day, as we honor and remember Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who is a unique personality within our parampara and who reminds us of the need to cultivate renunciation and then eventually naturally become renounced as a result of our bhakti for Krishna. Hare Krishna. So, I don't know if anyone has any comments or questions or any points of discussion. Yes.
Everything is taking you away.
Things like put us away from Krishna. So how do we know? So those things we don't, we like make us closer to Krishna. Is it like, so the pure perfect devotee should like renunciate to everything material and just like spiritual and change all the time? Or like or how can we do this?
Thank you. Thank you for that question, yes. No, therefore, the first thing I said is we should not try to renounce immediately, but we should try to connect everything to Krishna. Now, when we look a little bit harder, and when we look a little bit closer at our life, then we will see that there are many opportunities to connect all these things to Krishna. If someone is working in the world, they have many opportunities in which they can connect that work to Krishna. They can offer their results of their work to Krishna. From their work, they get many, many skills, knowledge, influence. They can use that for Krishna. When you're at work, you can meet many, many people. You can connect them to Krishna. So when you start looking more closely, you will see that the things in your life that you think are taking you away from Krishna, if you start looking at them in a different way, you will see that they can be vehicles which connect you to Krishna. Sometimes we look at our family and we think, oh, they're all in Maya, I need to just leave them. But if you look closely and if we carry ourselves in the appropriate way, then you can see that even your family, of course not in all situations, but in many situations, even though they're not Krishna's devotees necessarily, by serving them, by praying for them, by being an ideal devotee and trying to inspire them, by being around them, you actually become more connected to Krishna. So your family can help you get closer to Krishna. Your job can help you get closer to Krishna. Your friends who don't know anything about spiritual life, if you interact with them in a certain way, they can help you get to Krishna. It's not just the direct devotees who help you get to Krishna, but the other things which are seemingly non-spiritual, if they awaken a spiritual consciousness within you, they can also help you get to Krishna. So therefore I was giving different examples in our parampara. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not a renunciate. He was a high court judge. He had a family. He had many, many social responsibilities. Gaurakishoredas Babaji was a renunciate, no doubt. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was a renunciate, no doubt. Srila Prabhupada was a family man. He had a business. So, we have to look more closely at our life, because sometimes the tendency is to just say, oh, none of these things are helping me for Krishna consciousness, I just give them up. But even if you give them up, in your heart, you still have an attachment for them. So even if you say, I give it up because it's not helping me in my journey, it will still be on your mind. So a safer way to renounce is to say, let me see how I can connect it. And therefore Krishna tells Arjuna, you shouldn't leave the battlefield. You should fight in the battlefield. But Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Ma Manusmara Yudhyacha. At all times, while you're fighting, simultaneously remember me. Does that help? Any other questions, comments?
Thank you for Kailas Guru. He was mentioning how you all look the same, put in the same dresses, pretend to like that, and shame at that, so on. And then how every personality now with Parampara was so different in the same way. And he said that we all have to find our way, our personal way, how to become Krishna conscious, or how to be connected to Krishna. Now, we have many young devotees here, myself as well, and young minds sometimes pass into us, new ways or, some maybe not very clear way, Maybe they can be connected with Krishna by eating the chicken, it's not a problem, Everyone has to have his own way to be connected. Maybe you can, if there is some description. question, you know, how we can check is our devotional connection with Krishna is bona fide, authorized, or there is no, like, and the scriptures which we can check as self, you know?
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for that. In the beginning of spiritual life, we have to follow rules and regulations. We have to practice our spirituality within a boundary which is given by the scriptures, given by the saints, because that boundary helps us to, living within that boundary helps us to purify ourselves. Later on, when you advance in spiritual life, then automatically you live within that boundary because you know that that is beneficial, that is actually freedom to live within that boundary. But within that boundary, you find your way of functioning. Anyway, somehow or other, it took us 12 hours to drive here, like, so driving is on my mind. So when you're at night time, when you're on the road, then there are lights on the lane, isn't it? You see? Like on the motorway, there are lights. So the lights need to be there and you need to concentrate to stay in between the lines. But later on, when the morning time comes and the sun rises, then there's no more lights and almost you just stay in the lane without even concentrating so much. But at night time you need the lights. So similarly, in the beginning of our spiritual life, we need a lot of guidance from the scriptures and from the devotees of how to stay in the lane. How to stay on a path that's going to help us get purified. But gradually as the sun rises in our life, then we're able to live a spiritual life which is much more natural. And a spiritual life in which we're able to individually express ourselves. But in the night time, if someone says, I don't need to focus so much on the light, and then they'll come off the lane and they'll hit another car. So yes, in the beginning of spiritual life, rules and regulations and living in within boundaries is important. But Krishna consciousness ultimately is not a process of rules and regulations and living in boundaries. Rather, Krishna consciousness is a process of complete freedom. Prabhupada said, I'm giving you the regulative principles of freedom. Which is an interesting term if you think about it. Regulative principles of freedom. Because by living within a regulation, ultimately you really become free. So there are different stages in our spiritual life. And the beginning stages, we must follow guidance, strict guidance. But as time goes by, spiritual life has to be individual. It has to be natural. Because spiritual life means the heart. Spiritual life means bhakti. Spiritual life means a personal interaction with Krishna. And that's individual to you. Bhakti is an art. It's an art. But even to become an artist, first you have to practice. But it's not that you will just remain practicing your whole life. After all of that practice, you go and you just paint something and you just give your heart in that painting. That is the mature fruit of all your studies of art. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we have to be disciplined, rules and regulations in the beginning. And as we become more purified, our individuality comes out in such a way that it... nourishes our bhakti rather than taking us away from bhakti. But if you try to awaken that individuality too quickly before you're purified, then that individuality could take you away from bhakti. Is that okay?
Can you elaborate,
elaborate more?
On the
The rules and regulations are necessary because at the moment we are very much guided by an uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses. So an uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses first need to be purified into controlled mind and controlled senses. And when the controlled mind and controlled senses are there, then one can more powerfully connect with one's actual spiritual desires and spiritual calling. But right now we can't hear our spiritual desires and spiritual calling because the voice of the uncontrolled mind and uncontrolled senses is too high, too loud. So there are different voices within us. There's the voice of the super soul. You know, like you have like a sound desk and you have like different channels. So it's like a mixer. So one channel is the sound of Krishna in your heart. Another sound is the sound of the soul. Another sound is the sound of the mind. So all these sounds are going on. And you're trying to hear. Who am I hearing? Is it Krishna or is it the uncontrolled mind? And it's difficult to distinguish. Because right now the mixer on the channel of the uncontrolled mind is quite high. So what we need to do is bring that channel down. Bring that noise down. Quieten the uncontrolled mind. And then the voice of Krishna, the voice of the soul, will come through clearly, perfectly. Therefore Krishna says in the Gita, Jitatmana prashantasya paramatma samahita. For one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. For one who's conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. But how will you reach the super soul if you have not conquered the mind? So that's why we have to follow rules and regulations.
Hare Krishna. Not find excuse to think this is not Vaishnava association, I don't want to associate with those Vaishnava because they don't associate in a perfect way. Instead of, is it about everyone has to be perfect, or is it mainly that we have to associate in a perfect way with Vaishnava?
Thank you. We cannot control anyone. We cannot. We only have very limited influence on others and what they do. But one thing we do have control over is our own conduct, our own consciousness, our own contribution to a community. We had one very amazing devotee in London, and his name was Tribhuvanath Prabhu. And Srila Prabhupada sent him to Scotland. And once he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, Srila Prabhupada, there's all new devotees there and they're not all so serious. There's no association. And Srila Prabhupada looked at him and said, you become the association. There's one English poet, he writes an interesting line. He says, no man is a social island. In other words, each one of us have an effect on the environment around us. And therefore, we may come into a sangha of Vaishnavas and think other Vaishnavas are not associating properly, or, you know, there's some imperfection or some lacking. The first thing is Srila Prabhupada did mention very clearly that even in the Krishna Consciousness Society, we should not expect a utopia. There will be differences, there will be different ideas, there will be different personalities. That doesn't mean that they're not Krishna conscious, it just means they may be slightly different to us. But the second thing we should realize is, what am I bringing to the community? I should bring my spiritual consciousness, I should bring my positivity, I should bring more Krishna into this community. So that is the responsibility of each one of us. And when everyone is thinking like that, what am I bringing to the community, instead of thinking, what am I getting from everyone else? I'm not getting anything from anyone, therefore I will not associate. But rather than that, if everyone is thinking, what am I giving? Then naturally the whole Sangha is elevated. And so, in that famous poster in USA, there was that man with the hat, and he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what can you do for your country? And so we shouldn't just think that this Sangha is an opportunity to get something. This Sangha is an opportunity to give something. And when you give, you get. Because the principle of Vaishnavism is selflessness. And so let us meditate on that. That the Vaishnav Sangha is an opportunity to give. I can come in and I can do some service for the Vaishnavas. I can come and I can be a positive, optimistic, inspired devotee. And know for sure, if you do that, others will be influenced by that. Those are some thoughts. Time, maybe? Out of time? Yeah, so it's out of time. So I think we'll finish there because we've passed 9 o'clock. Thank you for the opportunity. Please forgive me for any mistakes, speaking for my own purification. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Gaur Premanande.